What I should be doing on this week's Sideshow, being that it's the closest Friday to the end and the start of the month, is giving you that biblical list of all of those things that you should be doing in your space outside in the great outdoors. Scarify your lawns, blah, 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 blah. Fertilize the lawn, blah, 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 blah. Don't forget to prune your blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But if you live in Ireland or the UK and you have looked outside your window, if you've tried to push your lawnmower across your lawn without leaving any markings on it, it is nigh on impossible. We're at a point where agriculturally potato prices are at all time just about record highs, partly because the farmers cannot get into the fields to remove the produce that is sitting there waiting for it to be cropped. We had temperatures of 18 Celsius approximately this week, and somewhere in between we had record levels, maybe, once again, of rainfall. The meteorological services are running out of names for typhoons and storms and thunderstorms, and there have been sightings of bolts of lightning, very, very frightening, me, Galileo, ploughing themselves through our skies by night. People complaining that they can't sleep with the rain beating off their window. So is it right, is it fair, is it correct for me to recommend that you go out and scarify your lawn or do those things that I should recommend that you do? On last week's show, you might remember when I spoke about the Irish hedge and hedging and the planting of and what it does, the biodiversity, the buzzwords that have brought something that was a little bit 60s, 70s tank top Cliff Richard back to today's day, and in a roundabout way made it, you know, important again. Requests for tree planting and hedge planting to my offices, my Jeep, are on the increase. I'm almost answering the phone saying, you what? You want the hedge? Are you okay? But it's a good move, don't get me wrong. It's a positive. You've got a situation this week where Morrisons, the supermarket chain in the UK, have announced that they are to start selling ugly fruit and veg. Something that you have to bear in mind when we interviewed David Rogers, a potato grower in North County Dublin, last year around about November. And David noted that the potatoes that were, and the next time you're in your supermarket, look on the back of the bag of spuds and it says size between 40 and 80 millimetres. David confirmed that those below 40 millimetres in size and above 80 millimetres in size, also those that were a little bit bumped or odd shaped or not perfectly round, scratched, slightly marred, were put to one side and either fed to cattle or dumped. Morrisons by necessity are doing what they do, and they quote, Morrisons will sell ugly fruit and veg in its stores this season to help the British growers affected by the recent bad weather. The supermarket said it would work closely with growers and buy entire crops of produce such as potatoes and carrots, with normal shaped vegetables going into its standard range and knobbly inverted commas produce going into its Morrisons Savers range. Bearing in mind farmers can't get into their fields, how, never mind scarifying, am I to recommend that you go out and cut your grass, depending on how the weatherman feels? I say the weatherman, of course. I mean the guy sitting upstairs with the remote control for the weather, probably having a good giggle, going 18 Celsius. Ah, I'll give him lashings of rain for the crack. The work for the month of September, as a result of inclement weather and not inclement weather, will not happen this Friday on 103.2 Dublin City FM. That said, there is a cracking show still lined up. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you're listening in the future via podcast, Stitcher.com or iTunes, whether you're on www.sideshow.com or you're listening to us via facebook.com/The Sideshow. Welcome to Dublin's only garden radio show, brought to you in association with the gentlemen and ladies of greensax.ie.
The Sod Show, it'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green, Fridays, 3pm, 103.2 Dublin City FM. The Sod Show, Dublin's garden radio show.
Ooh, hey.
The Sod Show, brought to you by Greensax, the compostable bags for home and garden.
You begin to wonder how a guy like me manages, possibly, potentially, to make a living in the weather that is. But there's one thing that I knew when I was 5 years of age, when I was 15, 25, and equally last year, 35 years of age. Ireland has always been famous, a bit like Great Britain, for one of two things: lush green grass, rolling hills, yellow vales, The Quiet Man the movie, and lashings of rain in the middle of pick a month between 1 and 12, and you probably have the correct answer. And in a world gone mad, you end up, I suppose, coming to the conclusion that, you know, somewhere between September and December, I will hope to achieve X. It doesn't stop and it doesn't prevent you from doing everything. But you do have to take a stand back and say sometimes, particularly in this August summertime weather that we're having, you do have to turn around and go, not today. You'd want to be quite open in your planning, is the point that I would make. That said, and I've been asked this on more than 1, 2, 5, 10 occasions, how is the weather affecting me? And my answer, in the very optimistic tone of saying so, in a very positive tone of saying, is it's not snowing. And that is a positive. There's also the cliche, which is there's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothing. It sits over my local camping store in Swords in North County Dublin. And I don't mind getting wet. I don't mind being soaked to the skin. It is the good reason why I wear shorts, as Brian Green will tell you, because I dry out that little bit quicker. But mechanically, machine-wise, horticulturally, large-scale en masse, it can be difficult to do some of the chores that you need to do. Or, and they take a little bit longer, or a lot longer. Before I go any further, some news of note outside of the Morrison supermarket range. And again, the show notes for this will be up on www.sodshow.com. One in from independent.co.uk and the Royal Horticultural Society Garden Magazine readers. And I'll give you the first and the opening lines of it. Anyone who has struggled during this year's seemingly endless torrential rain, we have it once again, ladies and gentlemen, to grow lettuces or cabbages without their crops being obliterated by slugs and snails will have tried every method they can think of to protect their plants. But experts have warned that gardeners who use coffee grounds, I'm reminded of our previous interviews with the gentlemen and ladies of Two Spots Coffee, one of the more popular organic alternatives to slug pellets, as a deterrent, are doing so in contravention of EU regulations. The Royal Horticultural Society has published the warnings in the latest edition of its magazine, The Garden, to the surprise of many readers. Let me separate the two here, and I'll tell you how it works for me. And I am a big coffee fan, like my ground coffees, pot a day kind of a guy. On the first hand, basing it on the understanding of where these slugs like to live, their homestead, you've never nor rarely seen a slug sitting in the middle of a supermarket car park. Equally, you will rarely have seen a slug by its beach house in Blackpool, sunbathing away. What you will notice, however, is that about 10, 11 o'clock, a little bit easier to do so with the rainfall that we're having, the slugs and snails tend to just come out of the, pardon the cliched expression, the woodwork. Normally, their habitat, their preferred habitat, is, for example, ivy-clad walls. It's underneath the hedgerows that I have just encouraged last week for you to put in. It is where they almost have a wee little microclimate that is shaded and dark and damp, where the light doesn't get through to. Where they can hide away in camouflage where you cannot see them. And I know my dad had put his parsley and some of his vegetables and herbs next to a wall, and on the far side the neighbour has it clad in ivy. And he tells me that he comes out literally the next day or days later and it's gone. If you have an apartment balcony and you're growing parsley in a pot, I doubt you have this problem. On the other hand, my method of doing controlling, not controlling, but allowing that biodiversity, cheaper, organic-y, whatever, which way you want to describe it, is that I'm gauging a container of slug pellets. It costs somewhere around about £5. If you take the most recent crop or plants or vegetables that I am taking from, it is the radish. And the packet of seeds would have cost around €1.50. And if it comes with about 100-150 seeds, then if the old attitude or the old adage of like one for the slug and one for the human applies, then my method of let the slug have what it wants equally, put the pots or put the raised vegetable beds away from the walls where the slug and the snail, the mollusk, likes to live, I would suggest that I am doing better than most of you as regards my coffee grinds. I know every morning when I wake up, 6 o'clock, 6:30 a.m. I empty the filter coffee machine and I literally, to use the Irish word, feck the grinds across my hairbed. It is not for the want of the tearing slugs. It is for the practical reality that it's doing no harm to the plants and it's doing no harm to the bed itself. If I wished, I could do what our friends in Two Spots Coffee recommended, which is walk into the science gallery, ask them for a bag of coffee grinds, and I could use it as some form of composting. And that's bearing in mind if you have a pot that stands at being ridiculously impractical, waist high tall, and you only wish to grow parsley into it, which has a root zone of about 1.5 inches depth, then why would you want to fill it to the brim with brand spanking compost? It is the reason why some people put polystyrene in there to lessen the amount of compost that you must use. On a slight side note, if you wish to go to a good, great gardening talk, there are two on the horizon. The first one is at FizzFest. That's PHIZZFEST.ie. FizzFest.ie. And on Tuesday, the 4th of September at 6:30 p.m. in Broadstone Hall. Good friend of the Sideshow, Trevor Sargent, also famous for his book, Trevor's Kitchen Garden, will be doing a talk on no matter how small the pot or plot. Other talks of note. One is with my good self and it is an evening horticultural practical gardening course. It is starting Wednesday the 26th of September 2012. It's a 10-week course. It runs from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. taking place in St. Tiernan's Community School in Dundrum. And again, I'll put details of that up on www.sodshow.com. And if I don't break for a song of the week right now, I'll just find that I keep on rambling and rambling and rambling and rambling.
Leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged. Such a pleasant stay. But now it's time for me to go. The autumn moonlight's my way. But now I smell the rain and with it pain, and it's heading my way. Ah, sometimes I grow so tired. But I know I've got one thing I got to do. I ramble on.
gone. And though I held sweet dread a thousand times, it's time to ramble on.
From 1969 and the album Led Zeppelin number 2, that was Ramble On, written by Jimmy Page and the genius guitar player that is Robert, pardon the cliched pun, Plant. But yeah, okay, right, I'm pushing it on the old jokes department. In 2009, I did a questionnaire, a poll daddy poll, asking you what was your favourite tree. You may be surprised at this, but the Malus sylvestris, the native Irish crabapple tree, came in number one with a whopping 27.42% of the votes. Just before that, at 21.37%, was the oak tree. And a number three with 9.27% of the votes was the Fraxinus excelsior, the ash tree. But if you were looking at following on from last week's hedge-growing native Irish, bear in mind that Borbeer are on the verge of launching yet again this year's It's Garden Time campaign, reminding us the nurseries in Ireland have had a little bit of a rough time. But Irish plants are good quality. They're better grown. They're better for us. It's Irish soil. It's Irish everything. It's all of the jobs. It's the horticultural industry. The point of their campaign, however, will be that the gardening season doesn't end once the kids go back to school. And in conversation this week that I had with more than 5, 7, 10 people of when is the best time to do your garden, to plant up your garden, here's the, I suppose, the answer that you may never have thought of. Rainfall should, by average means taken over a 20-30 year period, be higher, and temperature should be lower from the September, October's heading onwards. And what that means is the transpiration, the evaporation of water from your plant, from your newly planted trees, is lowered. The pressure on it to grow, the leaf fall, the producing of fruit, the producing of flowers doesn't need to happen. So the plant's concentration really does go into its development, its settling below ground level. There's also the note that weed growth, competition for nutrients, the competition from other plants is lowered. And the tree in this case, or the hedge if you take last week's show into consideration, gets to do what it should be doing first of all, which is develop itself below ground, set up a home, set up a base. And then when the February, March comes and the leaves start to appear, the fruits start to appear, the flowers start to come out, its energy can then be concentrated into that. Now, if you have a large area of ground, you're in luck in the native Irish tree department. Either that or you take a leaf out of what the guys in Ballymun have done. And what you'll find if you walk around the housing estates in Ballymun, the new Ballymun, is that most of the trees have a wee little plaque outside, and it's been planted, all of the street trees have been planted in memory or in the name of somebody else. My suggestion, if you don't go for a native Irish tree, do plant one. Make it the only item on your bucket list this season between now and Christmas. Plan to plant one. Native Irish list are usually a little bit brute and a little bit ugly, a little bit stalwart, a little bit like Greed and Peg Sayers. That's P-E-I-G, if you want to go and take a look on Wikipedia or one of those things and you're listening to this outside of Ireland. For those of you who have gone through the pre-1990s educational system, you'd be fully aware of what I'm talking about. But the list of natives reads as such. You have the Alder glutinosa, the Arbutus unido, the strawberry tree. This might mean a whole lot to you, but they're trees that you would generally see in large parks. The alder would be used as hedgerows or separations in farmlands, noted for its height. There's the Corylus avellana, which is the hazel one I've touched on many times, and the Crataegus, the hawthorn, which would have come up on last week's show. There's the ash tree that would also tie it in with the Crataegus, the hawthorn, would pretty much cover most of Ireland by way of hedgerows again. In between all of that, you have the Ilex aquifolium, the holly. And this is where we start getting into the fruiting trees, stuff that can be reused. These are things that stop you or prevent you from having to go out, not entirely, and buying too much budgie seed to feed the wildlife in the harsh winters that may lie ahead this season, or may not, hopefully. The list reads on as such. You have pinus, the pine trees, you know, you get those Christmassy piney things from, again, reusable or usable for decorations. There's the poplars, also used in farmland shelter belts. And what you realise when you get partway through the list is that these things just, well, bar the odd one or two, maybe, they're all 30 footers and above, approximately. And that really doesn't help you, maybe, in the 8 metre by 6 metre size garden. If you are going to plant, and you are thinking of, if nothing else, go and buy yourself an apple tree, a pear tree. Go down to your local garden centre, ask your local landscaper to recommend you one. Get two. I never liked planting one tree on its own. And pick a spot for it. Do that this year. Go out with your daughter, your wife, your significant other, your mother, your brother, your cousin. Call across to your mom with a bag of compost, with a tree stake and a tree strap. It'll cost you about €50. Buy her the tin of roses as well if you feel that little bit over generous. But give it a go. I know people in my life who have never planted a tree. I'll put the full list of Irish native trees and that poll that I spoke of up on the show notes, which is sodshow.com. If you are tight on space and you do live in the apartment balcony garden, there's the likes of Trevor Sargent's talk that probably wouldn't do you any harm to go and check out. But there's a point at which you have to listen to the Sod Show and say, not so much that that's not for me, therefore I tune off, but that I'm not going to be able to plant that native Irish tree. But what I can do is plant what looks like a tree in a tall shrub. It might be a Fatsia japonica. It may be just a self-pollinating apple tree. It may be a large fritinia. It may be, as we spoke about last week, the bay laurel hedge. It might just encourage you to go outside, to go to that park, to visit. That's something that you meant to do for Heritage Week, but you just never got around to it. In the meantime, this weekend, I have a ton of radish to crop from. I've transplanted all of my wildflowers, as I have noted. My apple trees have been disaster struck, or thunderstruck, as the gentlemen of AC/DC might say. My plum trees, I cropped 6 plums from 5 trees, where last year they were literally falling off the ground as soon as you would touch them. Either or, I've come to the realisation that if I can't do that thing that I wanted to do, I think I might just be that point in time where I go and look at a park. It might just be that point in time where I head to somewhere like Ardgillan Castle or Newbridge House, where we had the Flavours of Fingal just recently. Take a wander around with my umbrella up, my raincoat on, bring my daughter with me. Electric Picnic fans, this weekend, whew, I hope the weather's good for you. If not, and like me, you are going to be at the Spirit of Folk Festival. We should have an interview coming up with them sometime in the next couple of weeks. Don't forget that competition is over on www.culture.ie if you want to get yourself a double weekend pass. You can bump into the likes of myself, Brian Green, Anthony McGuinness, Simon Kenny will also be there, Blahini Gilleroo. The list is endless, but we will have a posse in tow. Folks, it's been an odd sod show. It's been a mildly vague one to an extent. But what do I do? What is the answer? The answer is, whatever you do in the great outdoors, do let me know how you get on and do enjoy. You'll find this and all of the show notes, links, etc., etc., over on www.sideshow.com. As always, with thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, from Dublin City FM and the Sideshow. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.